finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush, who is taking yet a couple more days off. But John is going to return this Friday, so will I, snow permitting. Online right now, we have Richard Battle, author of Navigating Life's Journey. Richard, how you doing today?
Good afternoon, Andy. Thank you so much for having us, and we wish John safe travel back.
He will be. You know, he is traveling back. He's got a long drive. And thank you so much. Okay, let's talk a little about masks, because I've had it. And not just with me wearing them. I've had it with society wearing them. I've had it with everybody basically looking depressed, being silent at the store, and let's face it, not spending as much money. Everything is going downhill as long as we wear them. Every state that opens up, the economy booms. What's coming next?
Well, I think it's real interesting to see so many different aspects of this. We have 16 states at least that are lifting their statewide mask mandate.
Woo-hoo!
And I've seen a difference in Texas today already when I've been out and about. It's very refreshing. But then we see on the news, CNN, we hear politicians talk about there's variants coming, and they're doing everything they can to scare us so that we will continue to wear masks going forward. And I think that people are about at their wits' end, and the credibility of some of these sources are going to be less trusted than they were before. It's like the little boy that cried wolf.
Yeah, and I think, by the way, Richard, I think it's going to look worse and worse for them as each state that has gone without the masks doesn't see their numbers go up any more than the states with the masks. That's going to be the big problem. That is why those states are so upset at the states that have gone maskless. Let me ask you this. By the way, where are you in Texas?
Well, I'm west of Austin in the more sane area of Texas.
Yeah, not near Austin, my gosh. We have Austin, too. It's called Boulder. And, yeah, I know what you mean. Okay, tell me this. How many people are, what percentage are now not wearing masks in your area? Has it been gradual, or did they all race out their front door ripping them off their faces? What's been happening?
Well, I think it depends on where you go. If you
okay.
go into the city of Austin, people are wearing masks more and will continue to because of the news and the politicians there. If you go outside the city and go into smaller towns, people previously have worn masks less because they realize the real science here versus the politics.
Right.
And they recognize that common sense says, well, if I'm not right in somebody's face, I shouldn't have to wear a mask. And the other day I was in Abilene to see my daughter's college softball game, and I saw one guy driving down the street in his car by himself with his mask on. So that told me what news and politicians he was listening to.
Right.
Later that evening, I went to a steakhouse, and no one wore a mask going in, out, or at the tables, anywhere around. You couldn't even see a mask.
Okay, now, before you race on from that, I want to know, okay, in that steakhouse, what was the atmosphere like?
It was like 2019 and before. It was normalcy. And people were having a good time, and no one was scared, and they were just enjoying a Friday night out on the town.
Now, did the waiters and waitresses not have them?
They did not either at that place.
Oh, my gosh.
Very exciting also.
Well, yeah, because the waiter and the waitress, their smile, their personality, by the way, first of all, it helps their tips. But secondly, it adds to the entire dining experience. Okay, if I just want food, I'll have it delivered to home, right? I want the experience. I want to go out. I want to have fun. And it just sounds to me like it's a totally different world, what you're going in.
Well, it is, and we see around the country different places where states have borders, and one side of the border, they're more locked down, and the other side, they're less. And the citizens who can see that can see what's really going on versus people who are in the middle of a state where it's locked down, and that's all they know because that's all they see every day.
You know, Richard, what you just described, in all these border towns, it's got to be like the old East and West Germany. People flee only one direction. Okay, I mean,
that's absolutely true.
Yeah, okay. I just got off work. I want to go have fun. I'm not doing it on my side of the line. I'm getting over the wall, past the barbed wire, and I'm going to the other side. I'm going to take the mask off and relax. The thing is this: all the states that go without the masks, people go to them to have more fun rather than come from them.
Well, absolutely, and the mask is a metaphor for freedom versus government control.
Amen.
And it goes well beyond the mask itself. And I think people are starting to realize how government has snatched power from them. And every time government takes power and exercises it, they take power away from us as individuals. And that is not what our country was founded on.
Oh, it isn't. It isn't. And by the way, you know, I'm not anti-science. If the science said, Richard, and let's go beyond science, the word numbers. If the numbers said, hey, this place that everybody's wearing masks, nobody catches COVID, okay? This place where everybody's not wearing masks, they all catch COVID and die. Well, guess what? I would want us all to wear masks, obviously, right? I'm not stupid. But the numbers don't say that, Richard. They don't say that.
And we did that, and we complied last year when the 15 days to slow the curve and all those type things came out. But then when news media reports that the Super Bowl is going to be a super spreader event, and then there's nothing after it to indicate that that happened, the credibility decreases on those sources repeatedly because they never change their story, but yet the facts continually disagree with what they report.
Well, what's going to happen next? Okay, and look ahead a little bit, a few weeks, as these states, as you have this many states now that are just flat out not only going maskless, but getting rid of the distancing, which I believe is super important for businesses because they pay money, you know, hard-earned dollars for that floor space, right? When other states nearby start to see the economic activity picking up in those states and people being freer, and enjoying life more, and like you said, in all these border towns are only running one way, are we going to see more and more states flipping over, or are they just going to cling all the harder to their power?
Well, I think you'll see some of both. And in Texas, when they lifted the statewide mask mandate, that put the decisions to local school districts, governments, and businesses. And that gave them the individual choice. And it's interesting, some of those people did not like being put into a position to make a decision because they had cover from the governor, and
right,
they could say, well, I can't open because the governor won't let me. Well, now they have to make a decision. So the example I use is two grocery stores across the street from each other. One doesn't require masks, the other one does. Well, at a certain point, the pressure from customers is going to show which one of those is going to survive and thrive, and it will be the one without the mask is what I would bet.
I absolutely agree with you. That is so dead on. Let me ask you this. Do you see Americans starting to demand their freedom? Because one really troubling thing about this, Richard, even though I think we lost the election largely because of fraud in several states, even beyond that, way too many votes went to a presidential ticket that was determined to control our lives. Now people are having their lives controlled. Do you see people getting bitter about this? Do you see them churning on their governments that are doing this? And by the way, do you see this having some after effects in 2022?
Well, I hope so. And two, I think they are in some places. Where it's not happening is where the news continues to cover what's going on and people only get their news from one source. And I think that's the dangerous thing because when we see the COVID relief bill get 70% approval, well, people are only approving it because they're expecting possibly to get a check. If they knew what was in that bill totally and that the cost per person was about $5,600,
right,
getting $1,400 to pay $5,600 is not a smart financial move. But the way the government operates and they hide the cost and the pain to the future because we're using phony money, it makes it to where people can be fooled in the short term because the pain's delayed.
Richard, do you think they made a bit of a mistake, though, by making it that easy of math? Because you can just tell people right out. It's so simple. You're getting a quarter back on the dollar. They're taking a dollar from you and giving a quarter back, and they're giving the 75 cents to their buddies overseas, to illegals, to states that mishandled their budgets, right? They're giving it to everybody who voted for them. So they take a dollar from you, 75 cents goes to everyone who supports them, and you get a quarter. This, to me, does not seem like very difficult messaging.
No, that is atrocious. There's so much in this bill. But even beyond that, think of the international. We borrow money from China to give China foreign aid, which is ludicrous.
Yeah.
We're broke. We borrow money to give foreign aid to countries. And it's just like if you took your MasterCard and went and made a charitable contribution of $100 to some organization. And if you paid that off over a year and paid interest on that $100, that's how unwise the math is. And we have no business doing that. But since there's no cost to the politicians who make those decisions, they continue to spend future money because we don't feel the pain today.
Richard, does it break your heart the most looking at kids, young people? And by kids, I don't mean, you know, 8-year-olds. I'm talking young voters. Vote overwhelmingly for these Democrats when all of this that we're doing right now is being charged on their credit cards. Okay, I'm 57 years old. I'm almost dead. I won't last much longer. This isn't going to, some of this will be paid from me, right? In higher taxes, and some of this debt will be paid by me, but overwhelmingly, it's going to be paid by young people. They're footing the bill to get a quarter back on the dollar, and yet they're voting for them.
Yes, that's absolutely true, because what they've been presented doesn't reveal that to them, and that's the sad thing. If they only understood, and I mean, this all goes back to when our currency was taken off the gold standard in 1971.
Uh-huh.
And since then, we've been able to print money because we have the world's reserve currency. And China wants to take that away from us. If that ever happens, our currency will implode. And we'll have to pay the piper then, because we will not be able to print money indefinitely.
Oh, it'll be horrible. But don't try and tell kids that. They don't understand we're charging all this on their credit card. It's all on them.
Yes, it's absolutely true. And if you can get them to understand that, then they become more bitter than any of us that have been around longer, because they realize it will affect their entire futures.
All right. Well, Richard, honestly, I know this sounds hopeless, but you've actually given me a lot of hope today. You really have, because I get the feeling a lot of people are getting sick of masks. I think they're starting to listen to you. But if they really want to listen to you, how can they read up on you? How can they get your book? How can they see your site?
Well, that's a great question. My website is richardbattle.com. My books are available from any bookstore. But if you go on Amazon, it's Richard V. Battle. You can see all 7 of my publications and what we do. And we appreciate you asking that question.
Fantastic, Richard. Okay, we'll see you next week.
Thank you so much. We say God bless America.
God bless America. All right. And also God bless RoofMax. Folks, when that big storm hits this weekend, you're going to go inside, but your roof is going to take a pounding. This happens all year, so your roof needs rejuvenation. And this month, there's a $200 discount on that rejuvenation. Just call Dave Hart at 303-710-6916. Tell him that Rush to Reason sent you. He can add 5, 10, even 15 years to the life of your roof. That's RoofMax, 303-710-6916.
Roof Max in South Aurora keeps your roof going strong with roof rejuvenation. Modern asphalt shingles are manufactured with less oil than they used to be, so they dry out sooner, leaving them brittle and unable to expand and contract with the extreme temperature swings. Especially here on the Front Range, where your roof handles high elevation sun, UV exposure, and severe spring and summertime storms, along with more than twice the national average snowfall, your shingles wear out even faster. Roof rejuvenation with Roof Max could save you up to 85%. Just one application of their all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof, guaranteed. With up to 3 applications every 5 years, Roof Max could help your roof last 15 years longer. Save thousands of dollars by extending the life of your roof instead of replacing it. Call Dave Hart with RoofMax in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916.
All right, affordable interest mortgage with Kurt Rogers. Folks, with rates this low, every day you don't call Kurt Rogers to get refinanced or to do projects with the value of your home is a day you're just burning money. It's that simple. You don't call, you're burning money. To start saving real money, call Kurt at 720-895-0500 or go to aimortgage.net.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush. And on the line right now from Heritage, we have Hans von Spakovsky. Hans, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing just fine, Andy.
This is incredible. I've never met anybody who basically had the name that sounded like one of the scientists who develops a super weapon in a Bond film. Hans von Spakovsky.
Yeah, well, that's not me, but I've heard that before, that I sound like a Bond film villain. But,
yes, you do. I mean, well, honestly, though, let's be honest. When you write your articles, are you in the base of a volcano?
No, I wish I had the base of a volcano so I could be secure from all the attacks I have to undergo from folks on the left.
That's true. You would be safer. Okay, well, hey, talking about attacks from the left, let's talk about H.R. 1. I think a lot of people, when we hear about H.R. 1, it's so big. Okay, it's got so many pages. We can't get our minds around it. So in the next few minutes, we need you to help get our minds around it. What are they trying to do to us? Okay, because obviously, let's face it, their first thing that they want to do is make every election Democrat for the rest of known time. How are they trying to do that? What are they putting in this? And is there any chance this could not make it through the Senate?
It is a huge bill, 800 pages. And in essence, what they're doing is nationalizing and having the federal government take over the administration of elections. And they're overriding state laws, any state law that is a safety protocol, something that tries to ensure the security election process, is overridden. And they've also got provisions in there that, frankly, restrict political speech and political activity. And to give you just a couple of quick examples of this, if you're a state that has a voter ID law, like Georgia's got a voter ID law, that you now will be unable to enforce it. Because this law says, states, you have to allow people to vote, even if they don't have an ID, as long as they'll fill out a form in which they say, oh, yeah, I'm really who I claim I am.
You know, because we all give honest information, for instance, when they're doing contact tracing at a restaurant. Yes, right. We always give honest information on every sheet of paper put in front of us.
No, that's right. And like, if you are a state... that, of course, allows the people to vote through the absentee balloting process, which, of course, every state does. If you have a witness signature requirement, which is a common sense reform, a witness can authenticate that it was really the voter, you know, who filled out and signed the ballot. You cannot, states can no longer enforce a witness signature requirement. They also, by the way, say you have to have same-day registration. That means that states have to allow people to walk into a polling place on election day, register, and immediately vote. Now, Andy, think about combining required same-day registration with the fact that you can't ask for an ID. You know what that means? It means that you could walk into any polling place anywhere in the country and say that your name is Andy Smith, and they have to let you register, they have to let you immediately vote, and they can't ask for an ID. So they have no way of detecting that you just falsely registered and falsely voted. And as soon as you're done there, you can walk to the next polling place down the street and do it again under a different name.
Oh, but hey, don't worry, Hans, because, you know, in the aftermath, after, you know, Joe Biden wins because of a bunch of votes pour in the middle of the night, I'm sure that we can go over all those votes with a fine-tooth comb and make sure which ones are legal, which ones aren't, and the legal system will cast out the bad ones and we'll get an honest result, right?
Wrong. I know you're being facetious. Because
you bet I am.
It's almost impossible. It's almost impossible to detect this kind of fraud after it happens. Another thing that it does is, look, a lot of states smartly prohibit vote harvesting. Vote harvesting is when a state allows third-party strangers to show up at a voter's door and say, hey, I'll deliver your absentee ballot for you. The reason that's a bad idea is because that means that candidate, campaign staffers, party activists, political operatives can show up at your door and offer to deliver your ballot, which puts a valuable commodity into the hands of people who have a stake in the outcome of the election. This federal law would override all state laws that ban vote harvesting, so states would have to allow third-party strangers to pick up people's ballots, which, by the way, also puts those kind of individuals in a position to coerce and pressure voters in their homes, something that can't happen inside a polling place where electioneering is prohibited.
Yeah, okay, let's before you even go on any further, Hans, let's look at this. You know, you evil scientist in an evil lab. If they are, I'm sorry, I'm just picturing you in a lab coat. I really am. With really thick German glasses from the 40s. Okay, so already we basically said you can vote same day, which means we have no way of checking if you're you, and there's no way it's going to be checked in the aftermath. We know that. So it's like
right. It's
like the border right now. You put one foot on American soil, come on in, and we declare you legal, you're okay. Number two, forget voter ID, you can't enforce it. Number three, what you just said, hey, man, you don't even have to do the fraud yourself. We can have somebody go around, get a basket and pick up as many votes as they want from this place and that, and say they'll bring it in and just harvest them. What they're basically saying is this: this entire bill is nothing but the fraud bill. This is the bill that says whatever side wants to cheat the most is going to win.
I'm afraid you've pegged it. You've pegged it exactly right. And look, we're just talking about a few of the provisions in it. There are so many more in there. That all of which will basically destroy the integrity of the election process. If this bill becomes law, the American public is not going to be able to have confidence in the validity and credibility of future elections, and that's why it is so dangerous.
Hans, let me ask you this. In theory, wouldn't it actually be a great thing to have one standard nationwide? Not this standard, this one's insane. But I'm talking about right now we have this patchwork system, state to state to state to state, where everybody can have their own way of doing votes. Here's the problem. All you need are a group of dishonest leaders in a bunch of states. California, my gosh, anybody can cast a vote, okay? And basically they can overwhelm us with the Electoral College. So here I am in my little old city somewhere in, say, Arkansas or whatever, and I feel totally helpless. Why? Because they can just cheat in these other states where they have virtually no voter ID law or no, right? And they allow all this stuff, and there's no national law saying, okay, look, we need a one-size-fits-all. Basically this, you're all going to have to show ID. You're all going to have to prove you're you. Okay, whatever it takes, you have to prove you're you. I'm not saying that every state has to do that in exactly the same way, but you got to do that. That's the standard. Wouldn't that be a good thing across the board?
Well, it might be if you could guarantee you had good standards. But the whole problem with Congress, and it's shown by H.R. 1, is that if the national federal government is running elections, they can put in bad standards.
Right.
And the thing about the Electoral College is H.R. 1 actually is trying to Californiaize
right.
the rest of the country.
Yes.
But look. If fraud occurs in California, it's really not going to make that much of a difference because of the Electoral College. Because, look, we know the state is overwhelmingly Democrat.
Yes.
So even if they steal more votes, well, all that means is, well, we already know the Electoral College votes are going to go for the Democratic candidate. So it's not going to make any difference. If we actually got rid of the Electoral College, then every vote they could steal in California to add to the national popular vote could potentially swing the outcome of the election. So the Electoral College actually protects us from election fraud.
Oh, absolutely.
And is what's really true is that, yeah, it would be nice to have some national standards, but the one-size-fits-all policy that the Congress is trying to impose, look, the rules that might apply in a crowded, dense, urban area like New York City are not necessarily the right rules to have in a big, far less populated state like Wyoming or Montana.
No, I totally agree. And Hans, by the way, I was playing, you know, devil's advocate there.
Yeah, okay. Well, you did a good job of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, if you don't do what I said, if you let each state work it themselves, the nice thing is competition, right? One state will show the state next to them how to do it much better. And I like that. I like having states' rights. I like having them be able to disagree on how to do these things. The only standard that a part of me wishes was national is prove it's you. I mean,
yeah. No, look,
that's the only thing that really bugs me is that is absolutely gone, for crying out loud. They're saying it's racist to ask someone to prove they're them.
Yeah, and it's clearly not racist. You know how we know that is because states like Georgia, which has a very large minority population, look, their ID law has been in place since 2008. We got more than a decade's worth of turnout data. And that turnout data shows that not only did turnout not go down, which is what all the opponents, it went up after their ID law became effective.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree. Couldn't agree more. Well, thank you for warning us. Hey, one last thing before you leave and give us your information. Could this be shot down by the courts or in the Senate? I hate the fact that every day I wake up hoping not just in God, but in Joe Manchin, which I never thought I'd be in that position, by the way. I barely know the guy. But it seems every day I'm hoping for Joe Manchin to stop all the bad that's being done. Is there any hope of this being stopped either in the Senate or in the courts?
The key, relying on Joe Manchin for a vote is pretty risky. The key to stopping it in the Senate is going to be the Republicans filibustering the bill. And they'll be able to do that unless Chuck Schumer changes the filibuster rule, which has been in the Senate for a long time. As to the courts, that would be difficult. There are certainly parts of this bill that I think are blatantly unconstitutional. There are other parts that, while they're really bad policy, are not necessarily unconstitutional. So even a successful court challenge would probably result in only certain portions of the bill getting thrown out.
Okay. Hans von Spakovsky. By the way, is it Spakovsky or Spakovsky?
Spakovsky.
Okay, I was right the first time. Very cool. Okay.
You are.
You know, it's like I always tell my wife, honey, I was right the first time. No matter what I said, I was always right the first time. All right, Hans, how can people read your stuff at Heritage?
Go to heritage.org, heritage.org. I'm the only Hans there, so if they do a quick search just with my first name, they'll find all my stuff.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, sir. You're invited back anytime.
Thanks for having me.
Have a great day. All right, up next, folks, is Purefoy Chevrolet. Denver's uptight. You know it. There's no way around it. If you're in the market for a new or used car, then get out of uptight Denver and go relax at Purefoy Chevrolet in Fort Lupton. They've got a great selection, but better yet, it's like shopping at a friend's house. Call Purefoy Chevrolet at 303-659-8311 or go to purefoychevrolet.com.
You know, when I go into Purefoy Chevrolet, they don't give you that feel like they're there to take your money or they only care about the sale. They really, truly seem to care about me, and that means a lot to me. I've had the privilege of going into Purefoy Chevrolet to see Rolly's office. And when you see Rolly Purefoy and his family, and especially his father, because his dad was so involved in this business, you really get a sense of what it means for it to be a family. Then when you see customers come in, you also realize that they treat their customers the same way they would their family members. It was very clear that the customers come back again and again and again. There's kind of this real family feel of they want you to come in, be so pleased that you'll continue to come in and have a pleasant experience, and people that treat you like family, and you can't get better than that. So that really has stuck with me, and I think that's really something unique about Purefoy Chevrolet that means you should go there.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
All right, Golden Eagle Financial, you think you know what you're doing with retirement? Wrong. You've never done this before, but Al Smith has been guiding people just like you to happy retirements for decades. So call Al at 303-744-1128, or you can find Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com.
Al Smith protects your nest egg from the high cost of long-term health care. Once you retire, you have one concern: making your money last. Founder of Golden Eagle Financial, KLZ's retirement planning specialist, Al Smith, has worked in financial services for over three decades, specializing in retirement planning for the past 16 years. After all those years helping people manage their money, Al has spent a lot of time listening to his clients' concerns about retirement. Al has personally seen friends and relatives burn through their nest eggs in a matter of months, spending thousands of dollars a month on hourly health care, either at home or in assisted living. As part of your retirement plan with Golden Eagle Financial, Al will help you find alternative financial products with significant benefits in retirement, ensuring your nest egg can withstand the high cost of long-term health care. Schedule a free consultation with Al Smith now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush. Hey, we got just a few minutes here before we go to the next break. And I just want to mention that the Pentagon came out and announced it has extended the deployment of nearly 2,300 National Guard troops in Washington, D.C. through May 23rd. Think about that. You know, I've had it, folks. I've had it. I'm going to rant for a moment here, and I'm just sick of it. Okay, you guys on the left, you have gone insane. You've decided that we need to protect you forever just because of what happened on January 6th. You guys can't seem to handle anything bad happening in your life. January 6th was horrible, don't get me wrong. But you're worried that you might feel offended, so you silence everyone. You're worried about another January 6th attack, so you barricade yourselves behind walls and soldiers. And, you know, newsflash, folks, June 6th was terrible. January 6th, sorry. But your side burned down businesses and seized city blocks last year. You raged across a nation, killing cops, dragging people out of cars to beat them. You guys even abused little kids wearing MAGA hats. You shot Steve Scalise. People who support you commit the vast, vast majority of violent crimes and shootings. It's true. Every week, Chicago makes January 6th look like a love-in. Minneapolis, Portland, Seattle, Baltimore, Atlanta, name one city you haven't torn down when a verdict didn't go your way. Then you talk about white supremacists. Let me tell you something. White supremacists are evil. But BLM and Antifa outnumber them hundreds to one. And white supremacist violence is a drop in the ocean compared to BLM and Antifa. What about the KKK? Again, evil, right? They are. But there are a few kooks meeting in a barn somewhere. Your side seizes city blocks. Let me ask you something. Have you leftists protected us with walls and soldiers? Did you protect the Republicans who were hunted while playing baseball? No. You tell people to form mobs and harass Republicans in open restaurants with no barricades or soldiers at all. So you got Republicans with their families in a restaurant. They're not protected at all. And you say, get in their face, make them uncomfortable. Right. Like, that's not going to bring violence. And one last thing. Let's look at January 6th. That thing that is causing you to have troops there for months and months. This was our one. Even, you know, and by the way, we don't even know who all was in the mix in January 6th. Was there some Antifa in there? Was it all right wing? You know, how much of it was QAnon, which I don't even know what that is, but I don't know. But this was our one. Let's even say it was the right that did it. I think it was a mix. Even if it was, this was our one, folks. This was our one time that we do bad. You guys have been tearing up the country for years. And even at our one, do you realize that the only person who got shot was a Trump supporter? Do you realize no shots were fired by the Trump supporters? Do you realize that no guns were found after the fact? And this is our one. Look around, folks. Let me close with this. Concealed carry owners are less than 1% of gun crimes. NRA members commit virtually no crimes. We on the right, we're the ones that you say you have to barricade the Capitol to protect yourselves from us. We commit virtually no crime or violence. It's being committed by you. It's being committed when you seize cities. It's being committed when you burn cities. And quite honestly, even when you're not doing all that, it's being committed in your cities by you, by Democrats, in places where Democrats are voted in. They're in charge, they're running it, and they're in the streets. And yet, you are now using the military to protect yourselves from us because of one incident? You're snowflakes. You're driving me nuts. You make me sick. There. Had to rant on that. We have troops well into May surrounding the Capitol because they're afraid of us. Are you kidding me? Well, that's enough kidding on that. Sorry, folks. Sorry to get serious. I'm sorry. I just get angry when I see things like that. But you know what doesn't make me angry? Here we go. Bruce Simmons with American Liberty Mortgage. You know, you hear these words all the time in his ads talking about reverse mortgages. Let me say them slowly. Guaranteed tax-free income for as long as you live in your house. Are you interested? Give Bruce a call at 303-467-7821, or you can find Bruce Simmons at klzradio.com.
You want to work with Bruce Simmons because you can trust him. Bruce is usually the only person you'll talk to throughout the entire process. He's the one who meets with you and your family to explain the loan. He's the person you call with questions. He answers his phone himself every time. He personally attends all of his own closings. He'll even stay in touch after the loan closes in case you have more questions. John Rush recommended Bruce Simmons to his own mom and dad because he wanted them to work with someone local, someone who had specialized exclusively in reverse mortgages for more than 18 years, someone who would guarantee their fees so the cost would never exceed what he quoted them at the beginning. Plus, John really likes and believes in Bruce. You already know you don't want to work with a national company because you prefer a more personal approach. So choose someone you'll enjoy working with and can trust completely. Find KLZ's Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise.
You've already decided to take your vehicle to a good shop for auto body work because you know you'll get your vehicle back faster. Now get ready to be wowed. Al Sturm founded a good shop because he wanted to offer his customers convenient service while controlling the quality of his work. Once you go online to get your virtual mobile estimate at klzradio.com/collision, stop by a good shop in North Glen or Commerce City after hours to drop off your vehicle any day, anytime. Because they have so many different OE certifications, giving them access to parts directly from the manufacturers, Al and his team at a good shop have more control over how long your repairs will take. But more importantly, you know you can trust the safety of your vehicle. Customers continue to come back and refer friends and family because of the wow factor of their flawless, finished product. Mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs.
Before you actually start carrying a firearm, you need to develop the mindset of safety. Whether you consider yourself an experienced shooter or if you've never shot a gun, head trainer Karen Murray recommends signing up for the basic concealed carry class at Franktown Firearms first, because everyone has bad habits to break. You need to start with the basics, but you also can't walk out of a CCW class with a gun strapped to your hip thinking you're Jack Bauer. Once you've registered for your concealed carry permit, come back to Franktown Firearms for Karen's tactical pistol course to put your skills into practice. Karen will teach you the 6 steps to proper holster draw, giving you the chance to practice situational awareness in a safe environment. Karen loves watching her students leave her tactical pistol course at Franktown Firearms wearing their guns in their holsters for the first time. Register for a class now at klzradio.com/Franktown. Confidence through practice.
Before you can run your business more efficiently, you must learn to manage your own time. As the business owner, you cannot allow yourself to get bogged down by menial tasks. Your time is too valuable. You need to stay focused on the big picture. Otherwise, you'll be exhausted and frustrated. You won't have time for your family, and your company won't grow. John Rush will show you how to delegate for the sake of your sanity and your bottom line. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush on the line right now. Amy Swearer from Heritage. Amy, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm sorry, I know everybody says this, but I love your last name. It's hilarious. Swearer. I think it's so cool. Okay, I'm jealous. Anyway, Joe Biden has a House gun background check bill. Well, I mean, the House has a bill and he backs it. Okay. Can you tell us, what does this bill entail and should we be upset?
Sure. So this is H.R. 8. Like you said, it's currently in the House. And basically what it would do is it would not just expand background checks to sort of private sales, like arms lists, which is, again, most gun sales already are subjected to background checks. It would expand it to that, but then it would also expand it far beyond that to so many different types of low risk, even temporary transfers that really, again, are not how criminals are getting their guns. It's not really aimed at really anything except imposing significant time and financial burdens on law abiding citizens, just making even these low risk transfers. And a lot of times even who are making common sense gun safety decisions, like having someone else look after their guns while they're out of town so that they're not in an empty house and those sorts of things. So that's really what it's getting at, is basically making most transfers of guns, no matter how temporary, no matter how low risk, regardless of whether you have a concealed carry permit, et cetera, making those so you have to go down to a gun store, pay for a background check, wait it out, and then do the same thing to get your guns back.
Okay, Amy, well, first of all, obviously I'm on your side with this, but let me play devil's advocate for a moment. I know a lot of people would look at us and say, yeah, but don't you want to keep guns out of the hands of dangerous people? Aren't you going to do anything? It seems like you gun rights folks never want any expansion of the steps taken to keep guns out of the hands of dangerous people.
Well, the thing is that I actually do, and most Second Amendment advocates absolutely do want to make sure that criminals, that people who are dangerous to themselves or others, who are prohibited under federal law, that they're not getting their hands on guns. But the issue with this law is that even if it's 100% effective, it's very, very low reward. This is simply not how most criminals are getting their guns. It's not aimed at suicide prevention. It is simply imposing another burden on law-abiding citizens, because we know most criminals, most gun crime is not carried out by people who are going down to their gun store saying, yeah, run a background check on me, please. It's people who are already involved in the black market firearms trade, who are getting guns from people who are already willing to sell to felons, which is illegal, and who are not going to simply turn around and say, oh, well, the government says I have to conduct a background check now, so, wow, gee whiz, guess I better do that.
Okay,
it's not directed at how they get the gun.
Okay, now what would you recommend? Let's set aside their idiotic bill for a moment. Sure. What would you recommend? Let's say I'm worried about well, one person just privately selling a gun to another person, right? Mm-hmm. How can I feel at least confident that that other person is not a dangerous person? What can we put in place that keeps one person privately from just selling or giving a gun to a dangerous person?
Right. So first of all, there are a couple of things you can do. First, let's talk about what the law is. It is already the case that if you know someone is wanting to use a gun to harm themselves or others, or is a prohibited person, you already can't sell to them. But if we're talking about things like, I want to go onto Arms List and sell a couple guns to strangers, these sort of publicly advertised gun sales, you know, again, it's not really how criminals are getting their guns, but it makes sense to say, okay, you know, is there a way we can get these sort of background check system without imposing burdens on, you know, just law-abiding citizens who just want to sell some guns? And I think the answer is yes, and it's by targeting those specific types of publicly advertised sales to strangers, and then also allowing exceptions for people who have concealed carry permits or who have valid state-issued gun, you know, in some states you need gun permits, gun possession permits. If you have those, by definition, you pass a background check. So making someone go through those sorts of background checks again and again and again doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So again, you can do this in a much more limited, targeted way that makes it a low risk for this type of low reward endeavor.
Okay, what about saying that, bottom line, you can't sell a gun to somebody who doesn't have a permit? They need to have gone through something somewhere, somehow, that says they're not a nutcase. The fact that you personally, you know, I understand because there's already laws against you selling to somebody who is dangerous. I get that. So imposing new laws is meaningless because they're already breaking the law that's already there. I understand that. But what if we just said, you know, anybody who wants to buy a gun, if you want to buy a gun personally, you know, from a private seller, from a gun store, whatever, you have to be licensed to be able to do that. And that means that we can check on your background and make sure that you're not going to shoot up a school. Mm-hmm. And what about having that requirement?
So the issue with this is that in theory, it sounds good. In practice, the way a lot of these laws work is that the permitting process essentially prices out poor people without a lot of time on their hands, that they make these so complex and so expensive. You know, you look at Illinois, for example, with their FOID cards, where it's everyone who possesses a gun in Illinois has to get a firearm owner identification card to even possess the gun. They're supposed to have up to 30 days to accept or deny that application, but it's taking sometimes weeks and weeks and months sometimes after that. It's very expensive. It's very time-consuming. So when you start imposing these dramatic burdens before you can even possess a gun, now we're talking about something very, very different. So again, in theory, it makes sense, but the burdens often are just too big and imposing. The bureaucracy behind it is too intense. And then when you flip around, you have all of these states with gun permitting procedures, and still, under federal law, even though you have a gun permit that says, well, you're a law-abiding citizen, you still have to do the exact same thing anytime you want to buy a gun, pass a background check, again, under federal law. So it's just the confluence of these laws just makes it so time-consuming and so burdensome.
Well, and also, if I may jump in here, the second you say the word license, all the government is going to do is use that to raise money. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so they're going to raise that as high as they can just so they can get money from people who want to buy something that the government's not even providing. And secondly, why does somebody in a nation that says you have the right to bear arms, and if we simply let people freely bear them, we already know gun crime is going to go way down because you're going to have fewer victims. Okay, people who want to commit gun crimes want a lot of people who are unarmed around them. So first of all, they just want to raise money. The government does. And secondly, we're making people get a license to do something that they should already have the right to do just to be safe. Why should you need a license to be safe? My only thing is, maybe if you have, rather than needing a license to get one, maybe if you've proven to be dangerous, you should have a mark on you that prohibits it.
Right. Well, and so even then, we still run into this same issue of, you know, most people who are the small segment of society that engages in gun crime specifically,
right,
they're already prohibited from owning guns.
Right.
And already this is not stopping them from still engaging in the illegal gun trade, from finding people who are willing, knowing that they're felons who are going to commit crimes, willing to sell them guns. Just, you know, again, imposing another burden, they're not going to turn around and say, oh, gee, you know, it says I can't sell it to you because now I need a background check.
So I can say,
that's not how that works.
So really quick, so I can say to somebody, hey, everybody who's not supposed to have a gun is already prohibited under the law in various ways because they have proven they shouldn't have a gun.
That is correct.
So why punish this person who isn't prohibited by make them jump through 70 hoops to have something, to simply have the right to defend themselves against these people who are prohibited?
Well, especially when it's not going to stop the people who are prohibited in the first place. Yep,
okay,
that is correct.
Got just a few seconds here. Amy, can you tell us what are the chances this gets shot down in the Senate? Sorry to use that word. Or the courts?
So the Senate, it comes down to WWJMD. What will Joe Manchin do? I think it's very hit or miss. Who knows with this one? Because it's not an assault weapons ban. It's not one of the worst ones out there. So it's very hit or miss.
Quick. Okay, got to go really quick. How can people read your stuff? Amy Swearer at Heritage.
Yes, and follow me on Twitter at Amy Swearer.
There you go. Twitter at Amy Swear. Amy, thank you so much for bringing reason to Rush to Reason. It was awesome.
Thank you.
You bet. Have a good one. Okay, folks, that's it for hour two. In the third hour, we're going to have author Harma Hartooni and Liz Mayer and Sarah Perry from The Heritage. Until then, keep it right here on Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.